This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusa. Meghna and Anthony are out today. Brian Scarry has about the best job title on the planet, Explorer in Residence for the New England Aquarium. As you can imagine, he's got some cool stories.
I've drifted out at sea off the coast of Ireland, and the dive boat never saw me. I had to get picked up by a fishing boat after drifting for 2.5 hours. I've been lost under Arctic ice or been grabbed by a Humboldt squid at night in the Sea of Cortez and chased by other big animals and so forth.
Just another day at the office for one of National Geographic's top marine photographers. Scarry actually considers himself a photojournalist, telling stories about the beautiful and increasingly sad goings-on in the deep. His work also gives an image and a face to the research and advocacy that happens behind the scenes at the aquarium, which is where I met him to talk about the new anthology of his best work called Ocean Soul. The photographs you're about to discuss, by the way, are all up right now at RadioBoston.org. Scarry and I spoke near the penguin tank, a decision I kind of came to regret. These guys are getting pretty noisy.
They sure are. You know, it was a little over a year ago that I was in Antarctica, not with these little blue penguins, but with some of the other species that we see here. And, you know, I was able to just go right amongst them, walk into their colonies, and just sit for hours and hours shooting thousands of photographs and never getting bored. I'm not quite sure why they're so excited this morning, but maybe it's breakfast time.
So, Brian, you're from Uxbridge originally, right?
I am, and still live there, actually.
So tell me about your early life. How does a person come to be the kind of person that you are today?
I watched Cousteau documentaries and read National Geographic as a child. My parents took me to the beach in Cape Cod, New Hampshire, Rhode Island. When I was about, 15 years old, I started scuba diving. And from there, the career sort of evolved. It's hard to explain for a kid growing up in this sort of blue-collar, working-class town in central Massachusetts how I was so drawn to the ocean, but I think it was just something inside.
When did you publish your first photograph?
My first photograph was actually published in the Boston Globe in 1984, an old shipwreck in Boston Harbor. It was a passenger liner named The Romance, and I did a little story. It was a black and white picture, and that was the beginning.
Well, let's crack open your book, and would you show me your favorite photograph in the book?
Wow, that's a tough one. You know, there's 160 photos in here, but I guess if I had to narrow it down, it's a picture of my assistant, Mauricio, standing on the bottom of the ocean in the subantarctic of New Zealand next to a 45-foot, 70-ton right whale.
And when you say next to, it looks like he's about 6 feet away from its mouth.
Yeah. Right whales are animals that we have right here in New England. They're the most endangered species of whale in the world, only about maybe 450 of them. The New England Aquarium has got a very robust program studying and researching these animals. But the North Atlantic population has been rather beleaguered over the years. And to draw a contrast with that population, I went to a newly discovered population in the subantarctic of New Zealand, and I was just blown away. The animals were extremely curious. They had never seen a human being before. This giant whale about the size of a city bus swam over and spent about 2 hours with us.
It's so difficult to capture scale when you photograph whales, and this is a photograph that really, really does that. Because you'll see like illustrations that will put a whale next to a human figure, but this is the real thing. This is a human figure standing right next to a whale.
Yeah.
And the scale is just utterly vivid. The thing is just so damn big. You know, a lot of photographers take beautiful pictures of nature. You have this special duty, which is to really tell stories through pictures. And why don't you show me one of the stories that you tell? It's a one that I like a lot. It has to do with harp seals in Canada.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It initially began as a story that I wanted to do about harp seals, looking at just a few weeks in their life when they migrate down from the Arctic to the Gulf of St. Lawrence in Canada to engage in courtship, mating, and to have their pups. And all of that drama is played out against transient pack ice that moves with wind and tide. And I really wanted to just make pictures of the behavior that was happening during those weeks. But as I got more involved in the story, I realized that there were two big environmental issues that we couldn't ignore. The first was that these animals continued to be hunted for their pelts, but perhaps the bigger threat going forward was the loss of sea ice. The pup classes in recent years have been almost non-existent, 100% mortality rate, because of no sea ice.
There's a photograph in here where a baby seal has fallen through thin ice.
Yes.
And the mother goes to try to save it.
You know, this kind of thing is happening more and more frequently. When I was there 9 or 10 years ago, I saw a lot of mortality because of the pups who fall through the ice and don't get back out. But I saw a number of pups that made it also. There still was some stable platform. The photograph that you described, yeah, it shows one of these pups that's maybe 5 or 6 days old, still has a piece of the umbilical cord on its belly that has fallen through the ice, and its mother was frantically trying to push it up to breathe. That pup did make it, but so many these days do not.
It's harrowing. Have you ever, in the process of photographing an event like this, been tempted to intervene?
Well, that's a great question. I have and often feel tempted to intervene, but I resist that temptation. As a journalist, I shouldn't intervene at all. On the times where I have intervened, it's been because of more direct anthropogenic stresses. You know, I have cut a leatherback sea turtle out of a gill net down in Trinidad with a fisherman's permission. He wasn't trying to catch the turtle, he was trying to catch fish. The turtle accidentally got caught, so I was able to go out at night and release this turtle. In a situation where there's something natural happening, you know, in that same story on leatherbacks, I watched vultures eating little baby turtles as they were hatching and trying to scramble to the sea, and that's a very natural process. And even though it rips your heart out to see that, I didn't want to intervene. Although the seals, with the loss of sea ice...
That's anthropogenic.
You know, it is anthropogenic. But it's so vast, and it's almost become a natural phenomenon now that, you know, I just don't feel that it's my place to intervene, even though it does break me up not to do so. I just feel that it's not my place.
Well, then, beyond just capturing photographs, what are you trying to do?
Well, you know, when I began 35 years ago making photographs, I just wanted to take pretty pictures. And as my career has evolved, there has been this sort of a change in that I do want to shed light on what's going on. You know, we go to the beach and we see the calm surface of the ocean and we think all is well, but the ocean is dying a death of 1,000 cuts.
As we mentioned before, you were born in Uxbridge. You've settled in Uxbridge as an adult. Of all of the places for a marine photojournalist to live, what is it that keeps you coming back to New England?
I do slideshows and lectures here in New England quite often, and whenever I include any New England photography, people who have grown up in New England their entire lives or have houses on the beach are blown away by the amount of color and diversity that you find down here. You know, any place almost in New England, you can go off a beach. I mean, you can go out right here off the aquarium's dock and look at the pilings or some of the rocks offshore and find sea stars and tunicates and basket stars and all these wonderful invertebrates. And then there's codfish and sea ravens. I made a 45-minute dive in Rockport a couple of 3 weeks ago and found this beautiful golden yellow sea raven that was just perched in some Irish moss. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. So I'm very excited to use all that I've learned in my career and working at National Geographic to come back and do these projects here in New England, because I think people are going to be very surprised about what's here, both the good and some of the threats that are facing marine life.
Brian Scarry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam.
Brian Scarry has the enviable title of Explorer in Residence at the New England Aquarium. The new anthology of his photographs is called Ocean Soul. You can see some of his pictures, including all the ones we just discussed, at radioboston.org.